Good morning, folks, and welcome this morning to Near FM. Welcome to Closter Doolig Radio Week. Coming up, we have the journalism degree students. It's a program called Doolig Talks Phobias. This is being produced by Ronan Gain, Emer Daly, and Steve Ahern. The program explores phobias, their causes, effects, and what can be done to stop them. Enjoy this small 20-minute piece.
I'm Ronan Gain. Emer Daly and Steve Ahern complete the team. So what is a phobia? We took to the streets of Dublin to find out.
Do you think there's a difference between having a fear and a phobia?
Definitely. A phobia is being scared of something, whereas a fear is having a fear, I think, of something maybe happening.
I think a fear is a bit more rational than a phobia.
I have a massive phobia of snakes, whereas I would have a fear of loss, I think.
I'm afraid of everything. Like, I'm afraid of dying all the time. I'm always afraid I'm having a heart attack, and I'm always afraid I'm going to have cancer.
So I'm here with Emer and Stephen. The three of us all went out and got two interviews. My first interviewee kind of, as he spoke, he kind of realised it was more of a fear rather than a phobia. My second interview, however, was kind of more serious. It was about a fear of heights, which I think everyone's had at some point in their life, and with some people it can just be a lot worse.
Yeah, I actually had a fear of heights myself when I was younger. I went to a theme park, and basically I wouldn't get on anything until my brother eventually coaxed me and convinced me, here, you'd be a little chicken if you didn't. Since then, I'm not a fan of heights, but I'm not as deathly afraid as I once was, I think.
Yeah, I had a similar experience to that. When I was about 10 years old, I went to a theme park with my brothers, and they were all going on the roller coaster and everything and slagging me for not going on it. And the first time around, I actually was able to kind of stay strong in a sense, and I didn't go on them. But then about a year or two later, it's back in the same situation. It's like, right, I just can't go through this again. Eventually, just faced my fear and got on the roller coaster. So obviously, I wouldn't say I like heights now, or I'm over it, or I'm like perfectly comfortable, but I can definitely do roller coasters or like tall buildings and stuff like that now.
Yeah, Emer, you said you had a fear of something earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a fear of snakes. I don't even like bringing it up, so that's
we're
why
just
kind of
discussion
there.
Now. Yeah.
I don't like snakes at all. I haven't from a young age. I don't know what it is. I think same thing. My family didn't like snakes, so I was like, I don't like them either. Even like cartoon snakes, I'm not able to handle that.
Okay, well, that's actually very interesting to know, Emer. Probably should have interviewed you for this. So why don't you introduce us to your first interviewee?
Yeah, so I interviewed a girl called Megan, and she has trichinophobia. She has a huge issue with it, and she discusses how she can't even, like, you can tell in her interview how terrified she is of it. So we'll listen to how Megan got on now.
My phobia is trichinophobia. It's a phobia of like a cluster of little dots or holes all together. It's making me shiver even thinking about it. It's basically a cluster of little holes or dots all together as one. It's horrible. It's so horrible. For as long as I can remember, I have this. I don't know when it first occurred, but every time I see this cluster, I just freak out. It sends shivers straight down my spine. I hate it. When Emer showed it to me one time, tagged me in this horrible... Oh, there's two times, actually. Tagged me in this horrible picture of an eye, and the eye had, like, dots and holes all around the centre part of it. It was... It's still stuck with me. Then there's another signing of it when a frog gives birth. It, like, opens a load of holes. Opens a load of holes on its back when it's giving birth, and it's just horrendous. Horrendous. I would really like to not have this phobia, but in order to do that, you have to look at it and be okay with it, and I just can't see myself being okay with it, looking at it and overcoming it.
So, as you can see, Megan does not like trichinophobia, and she describes two situations that have really affected her, and you can tell in her voice that she's just like, she doesn't really have a valid reason as to why she doesn't like it. She's just like, I don't like it. Do you guys think that that's having a phobia, or do you think Megan's just like avoiding it?
Well, it's interesting because like in all the interviews I conducted as well, that's kind of a similar theme where people weren't able to exactly pinpoint where it came from and almost why they have it. They just kind of it's a visceral kind of thing that they just know they have this fear.
Yeah. What do you think, Ronan?
Yeah, I think that it's hard to say whether it's a fear or a phobia with that. It's like, how did you actually come across that? That could be kind of one of the areas where maybe she got it from one of her parents or someone else yeah. around her house, and she just didn't even realize that she was picking it up.
Yeah. Like, as she was telling me how much she doesn't like it, she was like touching her body, being like squirming and stuff.
How was your next interview, Eden? Were they worse, you think, or was it on that level?
So my next interview was a fear of lollipop sticks. So she says that this is affecting her everyday life because people might think she's rude. But yeah. She's like, people need to know how much of a fear I have of lollipop sticks.
Yeah, let's take a listen to that.
Oh my God, my phobia. I even when I think about my phobia, I get the shivers. My phobia is ice pop sticks. I have to say it really fast because I can't say it. I'm sorry for shaking in my voice, but I can't even think about ice pop sticks. I think I must have had an accident with an ice pop stick of actually biting on it or something, but I cannot even bear to think about them. Any event where there's ice pops, I just have to walk away from people eating ice pops, children, everything. It makes me seem so rude, but I just cannot bear to look at anyone eating an ice pop because I've such a fear and phobia of ice pop sticks.
So, as you can see, Carl has quite a funny and obscene, unique yeah. phobia.
Yeah, that's what was interesting. She seemed genuinely afraid of this.
Like, she is, but she's yeah. laughing. That's why I'm like, are you actually afraid of it? But yeah. when I was there interviewing her, like, she was shaking. She was so worked up. She can't even cope with the word. But as you can see, like, she's laughing in the interview, which means is it as serious as she's saying? I don't know.
Or
but
is her coping mechanism is the other way to
yeah.
look at that.
Because
like, obviously before I was thinking this is definitely just something she doesn't like, but then after hearing her speak,
yeah,
you can kind of see that this is a genuine fear. This genuinely is a phobia.
Yeah.
I think now for my interview that I have next, it isn't something that obscure. It's something kind of more down to earth, but he didn't have that kind of reaction. So like, the next interview I have is actually my roommate Dara, who essentially, I don't think you'll mind me describing him, he's a big buff former UFC fighter guy. I've known for a few months now, but I encountered his fear of spiders when I came into the apartment one day, and he was like pretty much almost standing on a couch terrified. But it kind of shows you don't realize the fears that people can have.
Yeah,
but we'll take a listen. You can hear for yourself now
yeah.
what he says.
Yeah, let's have a go.
My name is Dara O'Doherty, and I have a phobia of spiders. I've had this phobia of spiders for as long as I can remember. I guess it would have been first apparent to me when I was younger. I suppose when I was growing up in a big old house in the countryside, what would have freaked me out, I suppose, would be when you walk into a room and you see a spider there on the floor, or maybe even a spider on the roof or whatever. I think people are afraid of spiders, just having read up a bit about it. I think it's because of the unpredictability of spiders. You look at a spider, you don't know where it's going to go. I think that's the main thing, uncertainty. People link it into uncertainty or whatever. One moment sticks out to the front of my mind as to how this, I suppose, phobia or fear came about. I was lying at home in bed, just reading a book, and I felt something itchy on my chest, so I scratched it anyway, and then out of the corner of my eye I could just see something, so I looked down and then there's a spider just making its way across my chest. And knowing, I had to think very rationally about it, knowing that screaming wasn't going to do anything, I just had to jump out of the bed, but I had to be very controlled because if I just tossed it away, I wouldn't know where the spider went. Recently, I had to do a bit of a clear out of a room, and where I think I've got a really strong phobia of spiders, it's obvious that there are other people out there that have a worse phobia of spiders, to do a clear out of the room. So I guess I was able to get in there to the extent that I was armed with a Hoover, so I didn't mind just hoovering them and then getting rid of them or whatever. But to compare them with other people who wouldn't even enter the room, I suppose if you were to put it on a scale of, you know, low to moderate to high fear of or phobia of the spiders, I guess I would be on the moderate side of it. People just think that's just a spider, just get over it, get over yourself, catch it, whatever, release it, don't touch it. But I'm thinking no, it's it's horrifying.
Yeah, so you can kind of hear from that interview that, like, he says that he has a phobia, but the interesting is he kind of is rationally able to get over it. He's, like, he's talked about situations where he was able to think to himself, there's no one else going to be around, and I have to deal with it, which I thought was a very interesting aspect of his fear.
Yeah, he doesn't... just the fact that he's able to overcome it would kind of make me think that it's not a phobia. Mm. It's just something that he kind of overreacts about, but clearly it's not that big of a deal to him. But at the same time, you kind of have to... I don't know, be a bit sympathetic to how he feels around him a lot of the time, I think.
I suppose where's the line? Because, like, he even said himself that he recognises other people would be more afraid of spiders, but how do you measure that, I suppose? Right? How would you say that some people's fear is more deserving of being recognisable than another person's?
Yeah, I suppose it's good that he sees that, like, there is bigger fears out there than just having a fear of spiders, but... each to their own. Like, you're not going to be able to tell someone that, like, oh, your fear actually doesn't really matter because there's thousands of other fears out there.
Yeah, exactly. That actually ties into my next interview a little bit. I actually talked to my sister who was afraid of dogs, and this was something I had to see firsthand for years. She used to be afraid of dogs since we were children, and, like, this was, I saw this, this was actually a deathly fear, which she would, like, cross the road to avoid dogs. She would not go to a house. She'd be scared to leave the house if there was a dog nearby. But she actually talks briefly about how she can recognise phobias in other people. So I think we should give it a listen. It's quite interesting to hear from someone.
So my name is Julie and my phobia was dogs. So as far as I can remember having my phobia from as long as I can remember, I'm now 30 and it's only in the last maybe 3-4 years, I'd say, that my phobia has subsided. I was so afraid of dogs that even if a dog was on a lead, I would be crossing the road on the other side. Even though my head was telling me, Julie, the dog is on a lead, the owner's there, I can't come near you, I would be, my insides would be like jelly. One I can really remember, and I think this is around the time that I kind of decided I've had enough, was when I was at the beach. So I love swimming in the sea. And I remember being in the water and there being a dog loose on the beach. And I stayed in the water and I was frozen for a good, I'd say it was 40 minutes or so, and at that point I was like, no, I like to swim too much, I need to do something about this. And after our mama died, my sister randomly arrived home with the dog, and I said, okay, he's really cute, it was a small tiny collie, and I was like, okay, he's tiny, he can't, and my head's going, he can't do anything to you, he barely has teeth, it'll be fine. Oh, I was scared shitless of that puppy. So I literally just forced myself to be in the room. So at the beginning it was like, okay, I'm going to go into the room, I'm going to go over to him while he's behind the gate, and I'm going to try rub him. And that was one day. And then I was like, okay, right, we'll try leave him out. So I remember having my dad going, right, leave the dog out. And my dad could leave the dog out. And then I'd go, okay, right, I'm done. 2 minutes later, out of the room. And I was like, okay, that's okay. So I just literally forced myself. I think because I've had a phobia, I can tell if someone has a real phobia or if someone just dislikes something. Because you can see it in someone, because it's a fear and a phobia are two very different things. A fear is something that doesn't completely debilitate someone. It doesn't freeze someone. A phobia will completely debilitate someone. So if someone says, oh, I'm afraid of something, it's one thing and you can kind of see it. But if someone has a phobia, you just, when the thing happens, so for example, if someone told me now that they had a phobia of cats and they saw a cat and they're like, oh God, there's a cat, oh no. Okay, that's exaggerated. That's a fear. That's something that they can work over. But if someone has a phobia, you will see them. They will literally freeze. It's fight or flight. It's animalistic in them. And you can just see how tense people will get. And if you look at it's funny. Some people do exaggerate a fear. But a true phobia, I can spot it a mile off, because there is no, like, a person with a fear generally, not that they don't want to get over it. A person with a fear, it's almost something that they think, oh sure, this is grand. They don't. Person with the phobia hates it because they have no control over how it makes them feel. Everyone told me loads of things over the years how I'd get a phobia to go away. They're like, oh, you just need to be around to talk, you just need to do this. Yeah, I don't think there's any advice you can give to someone other than it's okay to have a phobia. It is weird because it generally it's not a thing that everyone has, and you know, everything is weird about something, but it can go away.
So yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear from someone who's actually gotten over phobia. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great thing to hear that someone gets agoraphobia, especially when it's a kind of a proper phobia.
She also kind of went into briefly how the moment she kind of realized she needed to get over it, where she was on the beach in the water. What do you think of that? Did you have similar moments in your...
That's absolutely piece? Hilarious.
But that's
also so concerning. Like, yeah. Imagine she had to stay in the water for any longer. And is she even a good swimmer?
Is she... Well, I think so.
I feel like when people have a phobia towards an animal, I'm a lot more sympathetic. I mean, like, you can be scared of dogs. Dogs can, like, bite you. They can be vicious. Mm. But obviously, you've got a puppy, and she came to see that, like, puppies obviously aren't vicious. They're so cuddly and amazing. Yeah. But they, like, if they're not trained properly and stuff, yeah, they can be scary. So I can sympathize with your sister a lot more.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's just, it was very interesting to get that from someone who has overcome a phobia.
Yeah.
And just to see how strongly they feel about it. And obviously they know they've had a phobia. It wasn't just a fear, it was over a number of years and they were able to get over it.
What, were any of your interviews kind of in that vein at all?
My first interview would have been sort of like that. It was I won't give it all away before we listen to it. I think as he spoke he kind of thought it was more of a fear, but at the same time the experience that he has had with it, I could understand why it might be a phobia for him. So on that note, let's just give it a listen and see what you guys think.
Okay, let's listen to it.
My name is Robert Whelan and my fear of styrofoam stems from when I was a child, and me and my younger cousin, we got a remote control car for, I think it was my birthday, and the car came in a styrofoam box and we were opening it and trying to get the car out of the box. The sound of the styrofoam made me wince a little bit, and my cousin seen the pain on my face when we were trying to take it out and I was blocking my ears, so she put her hands on it and started squeezing it, and then that was even worse and I had to walk away. So she picked up two pieces of it and started rubbing them together and I started running away, and then she just chased me the entire way around the garden rubbing it until I got my mouth to stop.
The most interesting thing I actually got from that interview is that when I first heard of what his fear was, I was immediately like, this cannot be a phobia. This has to just be something that he doesn't like. But then actually, when I listened to the story about how his cousin, what his cousin kind of tormented him while they were growing up, I was just like, this could definitely be a phobia. I would understand why he has
evil.
This.
Why was she doing that?
She's a cousin. It's family. That seems to be the theme, that like family will torment you if they know this fear.
True, yeah.
The next one was a bit more serious now, I think. It was my friend from work, Greg, who he was really bad with heights. He went into detail on everything, really. So let's give it a listen.
I've had my phobia since I was about 5 years old when I went on my first holiday. It was the first time I was on a plane and I didn't take to it very well. A few years ago, I was on holidays in Spain and I went to go on one of the water slides, which happened to be one of the largest ones in Europe. And when I got to the top, my legs just turned to jelly and just started to freak out. Like when I was in college last year, one of the things was we had to do the skywalk of Crow Park and I couldn't avoid it. And I just had to get through it. I held onto the rail. I didn't let go. I moved very slowly and tried to keep my mind occupied. I still kind of have a phobia of going on flights, but the more and more you go on them, the more used to you get to it. Yeah, so having a phobia, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something you don't really have too much control over, but knowing it's a common phobia and a lot of other people have the same problem, you know, it's kind of a comforting thing. You know, you don't have to keep it to yourself too much. It's nothing to be kind of afraid about telling people or anything. Yeah, you just have to find different ways to distract your mind, stop paying attention to how high you are or if you're near an edge or something like that.
Yeah, so that was Greg, and I just found it very interesting. It's kind of the first story that he told.
Yeah,
just about the flight. He's saying that just as time has progressed, he's been able to, as he said in the interview, he's been able to kind of find little ways of kind of distracting his mind and so on.
That's good. Mm. So at least he's trying to get over it, whereas a lot of the other interviews, they were saying they just don't even want to.
That's kind of one of the most interesting points. He actually does do what he can to kind of try and beat his phobia.
He adapts a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but like it's even just you saying he kind of had to, even up till last year was kind of his last experience. It was just kind of interesting that it's kind of going through since this is first realised it when he was 5. He's now 21, and now he still has those feelings and that. Kind of interesting way other people, even the two of us were talking earlier.
Yeah,
we both kind of been able to get over it, but with him, it's kind of stuck with him all the way through.
Yeah, and he has tackled it, but he hasn't really definitively tackled it. He's kind of more adapted more than anything else by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the best way to describe it. He's definitely just tried to adapt rather than kind of beat it completely.
Mm.
So thanks for joining us. If you want to join the discussion or you have a phobia you would like to share, get in contact with us via our website, Doolig Talks, and tune in next week where we'll be focusing on sleep paralysis.
Yes, indeed. And that was the students there in Clostadoolig. That was Ronan Gain, Emer Daly, and Steve Ahern. Hope you enjoyed that there.